And this year marks the 10th year of operation for a museum that has a special meaning on Christmas. It's the house that the great jazz musician Louis Armstrong lived and died in Queens, New York. Joining us to talk about it and the music of Louis Armstrong in what's becoming a mini holiday tradition here at Here and Now are two experts, Ricky Riccardi, the archivist at the museum, and Matt Glazer, the artistic director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music. Thanks to both of you for being here. And Ricky, first, there is a new item on display at the museum this year. It's a plaster mask.
Yeah, we knew it was there, but we weren't quite sure exactly what it was. And we hired a new curator last year. His name is David Reese, and he took one look at it and said, "Oh my goodness, this is a life mask." Mm. And he said, "Do we know anything about it?" So I started digging through the archives, and all of a sudden I found three photos of Louis holding it. So we took it to get restored, and it is almost scary when you look at it because the scars in his lips, the creases in his forehead, and he probably had to sit there for a few hours with this plaster cast on his face. But it is striking, and it is now on display, permanent display, at the Armstrong House.
But at this time of year, it is just one of many things. Tell us a little bit about what the Armstrong House is like at Christmas time.
Oh, well, Louis Armstrong probably comes maybe in second place to Santa Claus when it comes to bringing joy during the holidays. The Louis Armstrong House Museum, everything is 100% original. It looks just like it did when Louis and his wife Lucille lived there. And we have put up the tree, we've put up the lights, and people have told us that it's almost eerie when they come and take the tour because it feels like Louis and Lucille are still there. Like maybe they just ran out to the store to do some last-minute shopping and everything is in place. So there's a real holiday spirit to the place.
Well, and in a way they are. There are recordings playing throughout the house. Let's listen to one of those.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Satchmo. Able to sing
it. Why was he making these recordings?
The simplest explanation, two words, for posterity. It's a phrase that Armstrong uses at least two or three times over the years. He actually got his first tape recorder in December of 1950, and that tape we just heard from is also December 1950. It's one of the first tapes he made. And from the very beginning, he knew that he had this great gadget that not only could he record all the music that he always wanted to hear and have at his fingertips, but he could record himself and friends. And they could be having conversations. They could talk about women and marijuana and tell dirty jokes and really let their hair down. We have about 750 of these tapes at the Armstrong Archives over at Queens College. They are fascinating because Armstrong was able to open up on subjects that he could not speak of in print. You know, matters of race and drugs and stuff like that. But some of the most fun tapes are just him and his friends sitting around. And that's an example. Louis is sitting there with his friend Steph Crouch, and they're listening to Christmas music on Christmas Day in 1950. But Merry Christmas, everybody. He's sitting in the room with one person. So he's already conscious of the fact that one day, maybe 70 years from now, people will be listening to these tapes and, you know, will feel like they're in the same room with Armstrong.
And we know one of Matt Glazer's favorites is a song called Cool Yule. Let's take a listen to that. Matt, what is it about this song that you love so much?
You know, I'm not a big fan of the Christmas season, and Satchmo is the great antidepressant without side effects. If you have seasonal affective disorder and the doctor prescribes Prozac, you might say, actually, I just need to listen to some Louis Armstrong swinging.
For me, it's always a personal highlight of every season when I'm somewhere busy, when I'm in Times Square, when I'm in Port Authority or somewhere, and through the crowd, through my headphones, through everybody yammering and on their phones, I always hear the trumpet solo on Cool Yule, and it cuts through anything.
If it can make you happy in Port Authority bus terminal, I think it's pretty good.
It's all true. It's all true.
Next, we have another song. This is from a demo that Louis Armstrong made of Zet You Santa Claus.
Oh, there's Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop your teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today. But I can't explain why I'm shaking this way.
Okay, so that was the demo of that, but here is what the final product sounded like.
I said, who's there? Who is it? You stopping for a visit? Is that you? Santa Claus! Oh, there, Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today. I can't explain why I'm shaking that way.
Wow, Matt Glazer, what a song.
You know, the demo, Ricky, who is that who made that demo?
We're not sure. It might have been the songwriter. It was sent to him by Decca Records so he can learn the song.
You know, certainly it's true for Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday. They were able to take stuff that, not to put too fine a point on it, is just crap and make it into high art. I mean, you listen to the demo of that song and then you listen to Louis doing it with the large band. The difference in the performance, really, I feel like Louis Armstrong could take whatever material he had at hand musically and transform it into something life-affirming.
Well, stand by, both of you. We've got lots more to talk about after a break. This is Here and Now.
I'll get to the cause. One beacon I'll try there. Oh, there's an eye there. Is that you, Santa Claus?
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and let's get back to our conversation about Louis Armstrong, the jazz great whose house in Queens, New York, is celebrating its 10th year as a museum. And as it is each time this year, it is all decked out for Christmas. Visitors can even hear recordings of Armstrong as they walk through the house.
This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong talking to all the kids from all over the world. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Went all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Our guests are Ricky Riccardi, the archivist at the Louis Armstrong House Museum, and Matt Glazer, the artistic director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music. And Matt, how important was Armstrong in the world of American music?
I mean, you're talking to two fanatics. I'm sure we agree that there's certainly no one who is more important in American music, in my opinion. Hmm. You could argue about other people who may be of equal importance. It was interesting when we were listening to Louis listening to White Christmas. White Christmas is written by Irving Berlin, a man named Israel Beline, a Jew from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And that song is a very popular song written by a Jew about Christmas that has all the chromatic tones, 3-4, 3-flat, 3-3, and it's a little inside baseball. But both black jazz musicians and Jewish songwriters worked their way into the mainstream of American culture and put really deep, hip stuff into what was otherwise not really a very hip, creative life of Americans. So you get these people putting something that is like you swallow it and it's like a bomb that explodes.
It's a secret sauce, basically.
It's a secret sauce. I like that very much. So I think you are not going to get any argument from Ricky and I about the incredible importance of Louis.
Well, you mentioned Louis Armstrong listening to White Christmas. This is him listening to Nat King Cole singing All I Want for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. If I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
See, the funny thing, Matt Glazer, is that I'm sure you've heard that before, and yet it's still, you still are so amused when he comes in and talks.
Well, it's layers upon layers. He's in a room listening to a record of Nat King Cole, and he's responding to the record the way he would normally respond, and he's being recorded, and we have that recording, so it's layer upon layer. I always think of the story that Ricky told me that when he was recording himself, one day he was trying to get his wife interested in going to the bedroom, and finally she said, "Do you have that thing on? Turn that thing off." You know, he's trying to make sweet talk with her, trying to get her interested, and she realizes that he's recording. That I've got to hear. Ricky, I got to come down and hear that sometime.
Oh, anytime. That's our most requested take because the discussion goes on for about 10 minutes, and I'm telling you, 20 years of marital resentment.
Wow.
And everything, it all comes pouring out, and she has no idea he's recording it. You know, he tells her the horn comes first, and then you and Joe Glazer, his manager. And so finally she notices he's recording it, and she blows up and says, "You got that thing on, turn that off right now." And he says, "No, it's for posterity."
And while we're talking about Lucille, she and Louis, and by the way, I'm saying Louis because last year we had you on, and you said we could say it either way. You said Louis is okay, Louis is okay, so I'm saying Louis Armstrong. This is when they appeared on the Mike Douglas Show together back in 1970, and Mike Douglas asks them about celebrating Christmas on the road.
Yeah. Oh, somebody said Lucille, wherever she is in the world, wants to celebrate Christmas, she just goes ahead and does it.
You've got to have a little Christmas tree, a miniature or something, you know.
Tell us more about her, Ricky. We don't know much about Lucille Armstrong.
Lucille was a cotton club dancer, and she was actually a pioneer in her own way in that she was the first dark-skinned African-American woman to crack the chorus line at the cotton club, which for years only hired light-skinned African-American women. So she was dancing there. She had actually traveled to London. She was in Blackbirds of 1936, and she was having a pretty decent career. But in 1939, Armstrong got a gig at the Cotton Club, and they hit it off. He was married at the time, but sometimes you can't stop these things. And they eventually got married in 1942. Lucille retired from dancing, but their honeymoon was six straight months of one-nighters on the road, every night in a hotel room in a different city. And Lucille said, "I did not sign up for this." So she's the one who found the home in Corona. Lewis didn't even see it. He was on the road traveling somewhere. She bought the home, fixed it up. And if you ever get out to Queens to see it, it is not a mansion by any means. It's in the middle of a working-class neighborhood. It's your typical kind of Archie Bunker home. But Lewis, growing up the way he did, so poor, I mean, with a dirt floor, an outhouse in the backyard, and living out of a suitcase, living in apartments. So Lewis moved in, and that was it. From that moment on, he wouldn't leave the neighborhood. And him and Lucille, they were together there for the last 28 years of his life.
He died in 1971 in that house, in one of the bedrooms.
Indeed, yeah, in his sleep, the early hours of July 6, 1971.
Well, while I have you both here, I want to ask you what your favorite Louis Armstrong song is, and I will start with you, Matt.
I would say the video of him in Copenhagen in 1933.
The next number we're going to swing for you is one of the good old favorites. That's Dinah.
The performance of Dinah specifically. It's him in his absolute prime, and you can see him in the act of creation, and his eyes are shining. He's on fire, and the performance is just staggering. And that had the most electrifying impact on me when I first saw that on television.
Dinah, is anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know, show to me. Dinah, the dick not blazing, we'll love the city's gazing to the eyes of Dinah me. Baby, every man, one eye, shake my fine song, cut my dynamite, change your mind, love it in.
And Ricky, what about you? Favorite Louis Armstrong song?
Oh, if you would have asked me my top five, I
couldn't
have done
it. No, you only get one. You only get one.
For one, I'm going to say Stardust from 1931. There's so many great instrumentalists, so many great singers, but Armstrong's the only one who completely transforms the way people play instrumentally and the way people sing. And all you need to do is listen to Stardust. And you should familiarize yourself with every other version of Stardust first, Nat King Cole and Sinatra and whoever else you could find. Then listen to Armstrong. Listen to how he plays it, how he sings it, how he kind of deconstructs it and turns it into something so new, fresh, exciting, swinging. And he's the whole record. He's the whole show for 3 minutes. It's pretty much everything you need to know about the man.
Well, Matt Glazer, Artistic Director for the American Roots Music Program at the Berklee College of Music, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Ricky Riccardi, Archivist for the Louis Armstrong House, which, by the way, is still all decked out, right, Ricky, for the
sure
holidays?
Sure is, yeah, indeed.
Visit if you're in Queens. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend such lonely nights. Oh, baby, lonely nights. Dreaming of a song, melody, memory. And I'm once again with you. When our love was new, oh, man.
You're listening to Here and Now.
Now that, baby, you know.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Lumosity.com, dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain at Lumosity.com, and Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry, online at BrilliantEarth.com.